kindness. We see it all around us. We see it when someone pays for someone else's coffee or holds a door open for another person. We see it in the smallest of gestures, like a smile or a kind word. But it's different when we turn on the news or social media. Oftentimes, what we hear about, what outlets are pushing, is the opposite of kind. Welcome to the Kindness Matters podcast. Our goal is to give you a place to relax, to revel in stories of people who have received or given kindness, a place to inspire and motivate each and every one of us to practice kindness every day. Hello and welcome everybody to the Kindness Matters podcast. I am your host, Mike Rathbun, and today we're going to talk a little bit about something that I don't think we've ever discussed on this podcast, and basically that is kindness in the business world. And my guest is a business leader with over 15 years of experience driving growth for small-scale startups and global mature organizations. Today, she runs Innovate Forward Marketing, which is a consulting services agency based on the belief that everyone can achieve amazing things as long as they have the right resources and support. Please welcome, or I should say, it's not like I have a studio audience, but welcome Natalie Huff.
Thank you very much. When you say please welcome, I completely expected applause. So
I'm
maybe
just
we
saying, I could probably put that in. And the crowd goes wild. And I'll just like take the noise from the Twins win last night.
There we go.
That was pretty cool, huh? I don't know. Are you a baseball fan?
I watch athletics in general, but not a particular fan of any specific sport or any specific
I think the last time I went to a Twins game, it was like 1-0 or something. I'm like, that was the most boring sporting event I've ever been to.
I do like watching going to see the Twins. Target Field's a great place.
Yeah, we all like it when the home team wins, right? And especially when they break a streak like that. That was like the longest streak in any professional sports without a playoff win, I think. That was crazy.
No, I did not know that stat, but I believe it.
Yeah. Well, hello, Minnesota, right? So welcome, Natalie. How are you today?
I'm doing very well.
Screw the Twins.
I'm just enjoying the fall weather. Minnesota is, gives us some really great seasons, and then there's truly outstanding seasons.
It's like, for those of you who don't know, we're both in Minnesota, and I mean, the last 4 days or so have been like really, really hot for us. Okay, we're not comparing to like Phoenix or something, but for Minnesota, it's been hot and humid. It's been icky. And then today it's like 67, I want to say. There's a breeze.
Yeah,
it's fall.
It's fall.
So tell me a little bit, Natalie, about Innovate Forward.
Innovate Forward really came from the idea that there are a lot of businesses out there that need strategic marketing help. So if you think of smaller organizations or mid-sized organizations that might not be ready for a full-time marketing executive yet, they might have a really high potential marketing team, but not really somebody who can put all of it together into strategy that enables that growth. And they really need it. So Innovate Forward allows those organizations to get access to that kind of support. We're not a large agency, that's going to charge exorbitant amounts of money to deliver a PowerPoint.
Right.
We are just there to really understand more than what's written in the brief, more than what's written on paper, really understand what the business is about and what does it take to move the business forward. And then take that, translate that into a strategy and train the team to deliver on that strategy so that if I'm lucky, I work myself out of a job and you no longer need me and the team can really push all of that forward on their own.
That's funny because Are you like the only business person whose sole goal is to work yourself out of a job?
I think this is where it comes back to the concept of what is the purpose of the job.
Right.
And I'm in this because I want to help, right? I'm in this because there's organizations that need, that have a need, and my skills are able to fill that need. And it's not about maximizing the revenue. It's not necessarily about trying to turn this into a forever relationship, although oftentimes it can. It's really about providing the help where it is needed, and the relationship that comes out of it ends up being a whole lot more fruitful because you get a lot of referrals, a lot of loyalty, and just a lot of more goodness in the world when you're able to just offer the help that is needed without necessarily ulterior motive.
And now, but you've been working in business. And I'll probably have your headshot up as the cover art, but looking at you, I'm like, 15 years, what, did you start when you were 10? 15 years you've been doing this, which is...
I've been doing this quite some time.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you said, I'm going to run my own business.
Kind of. This has been a conversation and a... theoretical thing that you do during happy hours with your work besties for many, many years. And, the opportunity arose. There was a point in time where I did not have a full-time role and I had the luxury of trying something new.
Nice.
So I jumped at it.
Oftentimes, and tell me if I'm wrong here, in your experience, these types of things are either driven by necessity. Somebody is out of work, either they were laid off or let go or whatever. Or like you said, it's time to try something new. Are those like the two reasons people start businesses?
Probably it's not necessarily an either or, it's usually a spectrum.
Fair.
One of my roles earlier in my career was for a platform called Zenfolio, and it was a subscription service for a website that allows photographers to present and sell their work online.
Oh, I know that.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, I joined that company when there was not a marketing team. I was the first marketing hire.
Oh, wow.
There was no marketing to speak of, but the product was strong. And this was one of those unique cases where we had a really great product. It was an entry-level product for professional photographers. And then the recession hit. And because the recession hit, there are so many people who were out of a job and took that as an opportunity to follow their dreams. That's allowed, us to be in the right place at the right time to get that significant growth and capitalize on all of those people that are now following their dreams. So yes, most of those people had a talent, had an interest, had a thought about doing something like this, and losing their jobs was the catalyst.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, that was when I started our home cleaning business. That was the thing, we'd both been laid off. My wife had the opportunity to go back to school. I did not. So I went to work for a mortgage company, right? 2005, 2006. And I suck as a salesman. I don't know how I sold myself to get the job, but it got me a car and a laptop and I was able to work from home. But yeah, I sucked. And that job lasted about a year. And on New Year's Eve of 2005, my wife and I said, I'm tired of looking for another job. Let's just start our own company. Boom. And it's still going in a little different format than when it started, but it's still going today. So, we're doing okay. So this idea of, and I'm fascinated by this, kindness in business. What does that look like to you? Well, I mean, is it okay? I ask you a question, then I keep talking. I apologize. Is kindness in business towards the customer, towards your employees? Is it all over? Now, what does that look like to you?
Yes. The answer is yes. Ding, 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 so ding, if ding. You think about it, there's a Maya Angelou quote that most people have heard at some point in time of life, that people will never forget how you made them feel. They might forget what you did or what you said, but how you made them feel will stay with them forever.
Yes.
And this applies to everybody, including customers and employees and your peers and your superiors. That will stay with people forever. So taking that and applying to how you're trying to accomplish your goals is just good business. When you are consider the fact that employees who are in an organization where they feel respected and when they're kind to each other, they tend to have a lot more energy. They tend to have a lot more satisfaction in their work, and they tend to be a lot more committed to their organization. Those employees can deliver much better service to the customer. They can have the ability to create better solutions for whatever problems it is that they're solving. And they're a lot more willing to go above and beyond when they have that sense of comfort and that sense of safety and that sense of belonging within an organization. So definitely focused on employees specifically, but on the customers as well, right? As somebody who's focused on marketing and digital marketing specifically, we talk a lot about customer experience and conversion rate optimization. For those of you that are not in marketing, what that really means is customer experience is literally the definition of what we want the customer to experience from the point of first engaging with a company all the way through until they're done with you, whether it's a purchase or a repurchase or whatever. And then conversion rate optimization is really focused on how do we get more customers to go from point A, first hearing about you, to point Z, buying, right? Whether it's with the experience on the page, what options were presented to them, how many options were presented to them, what colors we use, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh my goodness.
Now, usually, customer experience and conversion rate optimizations are two separate functions, because one is specifically focused on trying to convince the customer to do something, and the other is focused on trying to get the customer to have a positive experience. But really, they only work well when they're the same thing. So if we could really focus on the fact that what's in the best interest of the customer is also in the best interest of the business, that's going to drive conversion. More people are going to go through the process. More people are going to reference the process. More people are going to talk about the process. More people are going to think about you because they remembered how they felt throughout the process and come back. The customer journey is never linear. It's multi-directional. So any channel can be a promoter or a detractor. And when we prioritize what the customer wants and needs and try to take care of them, we can make sure they'll make the most out of every customer interaction.
Absolutely. Going back for just a second, we were talking about employees. And you were talking about if... And it's going to sound like an algebra equation. If A, B, and C, then X, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of, and another one just started today, strikes in the workforce these days. I think it was Kaiser Permanente, the healthcare services, 75,000 employees out today. And of course, and United Auto Workers, and SAG. Well, SAG is still out. SAG-AFTRA is still out, but the Writers Guild has settled theirs. I don't recall in my lifetime seeing this many strikes at one particular time. Can that be traced back to a lack of kindness, or is it just flat out greed?
Sometimes I think lack of kindness and greed are the same thing, but I think it's a little bit more specific to dehumanization of business, right? When we have leaders who are far enough removed from the people that actually do the work, they start to see the business as a spreadsheet. And when you change a number here and you change a number here, the end result becomes bigger or smaller or hits the number that you need or doesn't hit the number that you need. And the actual impact of those changes, while most executives are very smart and can think through them and understand them, but they don't feel them the same way when they haven't been in contact with the, you know, boots on the street, so to speak.
Right.
And really understand who are the people that actually get the job done for which you're able to collect revenue. So I do believe that a lot of it can come from greed, but I think some of it is not malicious and some of it is just a disconnection from the actual humanity that that drives the business. Have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy?
Was that a John Cusack movie?
No, it was not.
Oh, I think that was some synchronicity.
I'm not mistaken, but I would need to look that up. It's 500 years in the future, and we as humanity kept getting dumber and dumber and dumber for 500 years, and a lot of things became more and more automated, from, you know, purchasing your food at a fast food place to healthcare to leading our corporations. And there's a particular moment where a decision was made to try to fix one problem. And as a result, the technology automatically laid off 90% of the workers of a company.
Hey.
Nobody knew why, but it was just some of those things that happened automatically. And obviously, it's a very extreme parody.
Sure.
But some of that is what I think we're seeing here, is just in an effort to help improve the shareholder value, in an effort to help drive the profit margin, in an effort to help automate and streamline and accelerate. And, you know, I can add any other corporate buzzwords in there. The humanity of what it actually takes to get some of this done disappears.
I see. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look that up. I'm always looking for a good movie to watch.
This is not necessarily an uplifting movie, so just...
It's what?
It's not necessarily an uplifting movie. It paints a pretty bleak picture, so you want to be in the right
place
for that.
Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? Okay,
it is
dark
definitely
comedy.
A comedy, but a dark comedy.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm going to look it up. So what do you think, what are some of the reasons for being kind in business? I mean, because I ask you these questions and I just keep talking. I'm sorry. you had talked about keeping kindness in your head when you're running a business, from your employees to the customer experience. Oftentimes we say we do things to further the bottom line or further the shareholder experience. That's not the right word. It's the worst I could do. But is it not true that taking care of your employees can yield you better results financially than cutting their pay or cutting their hours or whatever it is that you're doing or not doing?
Absolutely. There is a content creator, influencer, whatever term you want to call, Gary Vee or Gary Vaynerchuk, that talks a lot.
Oh, I love Gary Vaynerchuk.
Okay, so you're familiar. He talks a lot about kindness and caring, deeply caring for the customer as a great business strategy. And one of the things he talks about is, you know, the stickiness that it creates with employees and customers. Kindness builds emotional capital, and that emotional capital is something that you can cash in on if we're going to talk from a purely business perspective, right? Whether it's a request, whether it's an offer to buy something, whether it's a pitch, all of that lands a lot better if you already have marbles in the trust jar, and building those marbles in the trust jar requires true, genuine kindness and care about your customer.
Yeah, absolutely. I got into watching some of his stuff a few years ago, and I kind of wandered away from him, being the, you know, in mental Labrador puppy that I am. squirrel. I'm sure I got something else shiny in my head, but yeah, he's really insightful. And that also reminds me of the guy in Seattle. I'm not going to remember his name. That started all of his employees out at $100,000 a year or something
Oh, yes. The name's escaping me as well, but
I used to follow him on Twitter before I kicked Twitter to the curb.
I understand.
I mean X.
The URL is still twitter.com, so I'm leaning into that. You're absolutely right. And that kind of goes back to the other point about our employees, right? I truly believe, and I have seen this, that if people within an organization are not growing and are not learning, that means the business isn't either. So think about it, right? If people who are reporting to you are not able to do more and do better than they did last year, means they can't take anything off your plate. And if they can't take anything off your plate, means you're not able to do any growing of your own and doing better. And if you extrapolate that to an entire organization, means the whole company is stuck in the same pattern every year. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. And the only growth the company can have at that point is only through two external factors. You acquired somebody, you had more people in your target audience than you did last year, right? But if your employees are not learning to do new things, bigger things, better things, then your company can't grow either. So what if we gave people the tools and the opportunities to become better at their jobs? And I might not have the right next role for the person on my team at the time that they're ready, but I would love it if I was known as the person whose team was the most sought after. My people are the best taken care of, the best trained, and have the most experience for somebody in that role. It's good for everyone. Creates loyalty, makes other people want to come work with me, makes these people that are with me want to stay and maybe wait it out until the next opportunity comes along. The approach of actually taking care of your people is fantastic for business.
Oh, absolutely. Because a prospective client, you know, if they're doing their due diligence and researching you, you know, they're going to see things like, wow, this place has really happy employees. There must be something good going on there, you know? And then from there on, I mean, yeah, one leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. They're all interconnected.
Absolutely.
I am so glad this is not a visual podcast. Oh, I say and do some of the stupidest stuff. Okay. So when you started in Innovate Forward, now you're specifically marketing to smaller companies, right? I know, looking back on it now we have our business, we have downsized to the point where it's just myself and my wife. We're basically just waiting on retirement here. We're biding our time. But, you know, I have no doubt that if I had known of a company like yours, I know we could have probably grown bigger and larger. But you and I talked and you said something about, I'm going to probably get you in trouble here. Because famously, small businesses do not have a lot of money to spend on services like yours. And services like yours may be the last thing on their mind, but it should be the first.
You're absolutely right. So my business is structured specifically in a way where I can keep my operating costs low so that I can provide these services that are at a cost for the clients. I don't have anybody full-time on my team. What I have is a roster of contractors that I can reach out to and bring in when needed, but only when needed by the client. So this way I don't have to pass on any, full-time employment costs to my clients in any way or form.
Right.
And the goal really is to come and do what's needed. So you mentioned that I market to small businesses. I actually don't market.
Thank you for correcting
me. It's a very reasonable understanding, right? You have a business, you market it. That's what most people do, especially if it's a marketing business. You would assume you would be marketing yourself. But I don't want to sell myself. I don't want to sell my services. What I want to do is go out there and connect with people and understand their needs and see if what I offer can fulfill that need. This is never going to be a large agency that, runs millions of dollars and is supporting, hundreds of clients. This is my agency is really focused on offering help. And the only reason your only way you can truly understand what kind of help is needed is by connecting with people. So my entire go-to-market strategy is networking, is going out and talking to the different people out there who may have a need today, who may have a need next year, who may not have a need at all. But if I can help, whether it's with my own skills, with the skills of my contractors, or with the skills of somebody in my network, that's my role in the interaction.
Okay, awesome. So there's a lot of networking, in your daily life. And really, that's one of the things, we didn't do a lot right with our business, but one of the things we did was join a chamber of commerce. And those networking meetings were invaluable to us. I don't know how many clients we got just as a direct result of them. So, just being a member automatically put us one step above, some of the other mom and pop startup shops out there. And that was fantastic. I enjoyed that so much.
But you also seem to be a bit of an outgoing person, so networking events are probably fun for you.
I'm not going to lie, they were. Especially because they had one every other Friday, and it was a breakfast, which, hello, now I like eat a handful of almonds for breakfast. But boy, back then, they had some great places. I did. I enjoyed those. I enjoyed the interaction. And now that I don't do that as much anymore, but COVID made me an introvert anyway. I am perfectly happy in this little room you see here doing interviews remotely.
So let me ask you a question, because you've been talking to different people about kindness for quite some time. Do you think COVID has changed how we view kindness?
I think it has. I think it's been to the detriment.
Okay.
First of all, I think we all, in the last, I'll go out on a limb and say probably 15 years, we've all become keyboard warriors,
yes,
right?
For sure.
Perpetually outraged at what we see in our screens and just... And that has hurt the kindness movement, I think. And then we were all locked away in our houses and weren't allowed to go see anybody. And I think that just kind of deepened. We see a lot of division in this country. And I think, and Lord knows there's a number of reasons for it, but I think the fact that we spend more time on our screens, on social media, instead of out in amongst our fellow humans, really put a crimp in our kindness goings on. I talked in one episode to a lady who she used to run like and for the for lack of a better term, I'll call it like a hug flash mob. And they would just go out to events and stuff, her and, you know, a dozen of her closest friends, and offer free hugs. You didn't have to take it, but it was there if you wanted it. And then COVID, and she got depressed.
I can imagine.
She went through depression because she couldn't go out there and engage with other humans like she used to. And she's working her way out of it now. But yeah, that it did. It put a COVID and this whole and social media, I think, have been the two biggest harms to kindness in general.
I think I think the other perspective is how much easier it is to not see people. When I say not see, I don't mean, you know, not actually engage. I mean, just right. kind of breeze by the blur of a human that you're interacting with and not recognize them as a person with their own intelligence, with their own experiences, with their own feelings, with their own thoughts, with their own value. And their, again, the name is escaping me. I'm not a very good guest today. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
But there was a person who wrote about their kind of resolution being to make sure that they connected, actually saw a person they did not know once a day. So it could be, you know, you're checking out at your grocery store and actually recognize the humanity of the person that is helping you check out, or the person that is crossing the street, or the person that is asking for change, or you name it. And how yeah. fundamentally that transformed them to understand just how much humanity is out there and how much easier it would be for them to be compassionate and empathetic. When we don't have that connection, when we just recognize people as an icon or as a status update or as a comment or as a Slack or as an email, whichever way you tend to communicate, that
right.
the realness of the intelligence that is on the other side kind of gets lost, and it's a lot easier to be discompassionate when it just becomes a blur.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A friend of mine, and I had to show her on the show too, Lisa Metwally, and she was talking about how she likes to do this thing where she'll go to a store, a grocery store, what have you, Hy-Vee, Cub, whatever. And as she's checking out, she'll say, oh, my friend wanted me to, I want to pick up a candy bar for a friend of mine, but I don't know what kind. What's your favorite? And she'll ask the checker that. And the checker will say, you know, Kit Kat, whatever. And so she'll buy the Kit Kat. And then as she's about to walk away, she'll turn around and she'll give it to them.
Oh.
And she said the range of reactions that she's got, you know, people were not expecting that. And I think we should do that more, and not necessarily that specific thing, but there was another story, and I wrote about it in my book, and I found it on Reddit. And this guy said he was just walking down the street one day in Minneapolis, and out of nowhere, somebody that he'd never met, somebody that he never knew, hollered out to him, hey man, nice beard. And he said, I was kind of taken aback because for the past 2 years, I've kind of been in a dark place. So I haven't really been taking care of my beard, because he thought, who cares, right? And some stranger took 10 seconds, not even that, out of his day to recognize him and compliment him on that. And he said, I'm writing this in my truck and I'm bawling my eyes out like a little girl.
I love it.
with joy, not with, you know, not out of sadness, but still stuff like that, the human interactions. And I think we all need to get back to that.
So one of the things that I try to do, and I try to teach my daughter to do, which is very fun with a 6-year-old, is when you think something kind about a person, or you say something kind about a person, not to their face, or somebody else says it, you should tell the person, right?
Yes.
So with my daughter, it might be something as simple as we are out at a restaurant and she thinks somebody's hair is cool. And I won't go, she should know that. It's going to make her so happy to hear it. And we'll walk over and my daughter will be very shy and say it very quietly. But she's starting to see how the faces light up when they hear something nice said directly.
Absolutely.
And that kind of goes back to how you make a person feel, right? That's going to...
The Maya Angelou
quote. Exactly. It's going to make that person's 5 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe day. But
yeah.
It breaks up the pattern of whatever it is that they were doing and brings some positivity into their life. And I think that's incredibly important.
I think that's so cool you're working with your daughter. And she's six? Oh, that's like my grandson is going to turn a year in November. And it's just like, I can't wait to start, you know, to start showing it because they learn from us, right?
They absolutely do.
And yeah, that's so cool. Well, Natalie, I appreciate your time so much. You made the extra effort. You even broke down the customer service at
customer experience and whatever
your internet provider is.
I can talk about those for another half an hour for anybody that wants to listen to.
But this is a show about kindness, and that would be unkind. Oh, I still appreciate your time. I really do. And you are an asset to this show, and you make us that much better.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for being on.
This was a wonderful conversation. Anytime you want to come back and talk about it, I am happy to.
You may regret that. Take care and have a great
Thank
week.
You too.
That was such a fun conversation with Natalie Huff, the CEO, founder of Innovate Forward. It was so much fun, and I think this was an important conversation to have, especially given these days, about more kindness in business. We've all had horrible customer service experiences. We've all seen, well, as we talked about, striking workers, and I think that there are so many ways that all of these businesses could do better just by remembering the humanity, remembering to be kind. And nobody's listening to this, but there you go. That's my advice for all the CEOs out there. I thank you so much for the gift of your time today, for listening in. We'll be back again next week. But remember to be that person who roots for others, who tells a stranger they look amazing, and encourages others to believe in themselves and their dreams. You've been listening to the Kindness Matters podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rathbun. Have a fantastic week.